Hello and Happy New Year from the team of audio describers here at the New Vic Theatre. The 2022 team comprises Brenda Hennessy, Mim Bernard and me, Pam Beach. At the moment we are preparing the audio description for Beauty and the Beast and looking forward to the spring season with As You Like It, a co-production with Northern Broadsides, and to the two audio described performances of the much anticipated Marvellous. Welcome now to this introduction to our Christmas show, Beauty and the Beast. This year we retell the much loved and well known classic fairy tale, adapted from the original novel and directed for the New Vic Theatre by Teresa Heskins. The Auditorium. The recently refurbished New Vic is a theatre in the round with tiered seats rising all around a flat circular stage. Three evenly spaced tunnel-like entrances lead up onto the stage. Two are used by actors and audience, and the third, slightly larger main entrance, is used only by actors. Thinking of a clock face, if the main entrance is at 12 o'clock, the other two entrances are at 4 and 8 o'clock. During the audio description, we will name the 4 o'clock entrance as the right entrance and the 8 o'clock entrance as the left entrance. Behind the seating is a curved pathway known as the promenade. Five sets of aisle steps lead down from it to the stage. The balcony, edged with a safety barrier, is perched above the promenade. Unusual for our Christmas show, the promenade and aisles aren't used by actors this year. Row A, the front row of seats on the periphery of the stage, has been removed and black rails installed in front of row B, which now becomes the front row of audience seating. These measures and the show itself have been planned with COVID considerations in mind. This production. The story of Beauty and the Beast by the French writer Gabrielle Suzanne Barbeau de Voligneuve, published in 1740, was aimed at grown-ups. 16 years later, another French writer, Marie Le Prince de Beaumont, created an abridged version for a young audience, and over the years the story has been refashioned time and time again, bringing nuance and relevance to the characters. Our show programme informs us that researching the story, artistic director Teresa Heskins went back to those original versions to write for the New Vic stage today. The theatre's creative team has come back together once again to bring her version of the tale to life in our spectacular trademark style. Seamlessly, that tale unfolds through many scenes on a simple multi-purpose set with few additions. Almost all the action takes place over a variety of time periods in an enchanted, castellated palace with lots of rooms and a garden. Set designer Laura Wilstead has used the palace and gardens of Versailles in France as inspiration. The overall colour scheme of the set that greets the audience on entering the auditorium is black, creamy white and dark green. A blue hue pervades the scene with white light focusing on the centre of the stage. The set. In the very middle of the floor is a 10-sided shape, a decagon if we're being technical, about 6 feet in diameter and picked out along its edges in silver. This is the metal frame which at times in the production will magically rise up on one edge to become the tarnished elven wishing mirror, through which characters can see other places and people. This central shape also becomes the lily pond when the action moves to the garden. A larger decagon encircles the central one with five pathways radiating from it, roughly in line with the auditorium's five aisles. The ends of these pathways are linked to each other, forming a large pentagon towards the edges of the stage. This pentagon, the radiating pathways, and the larger decagon are veined in black and cream to look like marble. They are the palace's corridors, along which the characters pass from place to place. Between the pentagon and the edge of the stage, the floor is tiled in dark green, black and cream geometric shapes. The trapezoid-shaped spaces between each of the five corridors and the pentagon are dark green and have flower patterns on them. When the action moves from the palace to the garden, coloured flowers push up through the floor here, one section after another. White muslin swags, held in place by white floral ties, adorn the rails in front of audience seats. Hidden in the swags are tiny lights, only lit in the final scenes. Eight ornate empty mirror frames, painted silver and embellished with white flowers, are evenly spaced round the balcony rail. A mesh of tiny lights fills the space between the mirrors. Hanging from the roof space at varying levels over the centre of the stage are five highly polished metal frames. A rectangular door frame faces each of the three entrances. Two almost square window frames hang opposite each other at 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock. In scenes when characters journey round the palace, the frames move slowly up and down, their ballet-like movements choreographed to assist the action on stage by providing doors to rooms. Also hanging in the roof space are three 8-branch silver chandeliers at 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. Their crystal droplets sparkle as they catch the warm light of the candles when lit. Trays on top of the chandeliers enable silver dishes of food to be provided when they're lowered. Baroque is the style of the few pieces of cream furniture used. A chair in the music corner is also used at the dining table. Furniture in a garden scene is what today we would call a small patio set, a wrought iron table and two chairs. The prince and beast's large throne, tinged in gold, is more elaborate, with arms and a green velvet seat pad. The throne is mounted on the front of a large octagonal cream marble plinth, elongated at the base. It slides out through the main entrance to its position in front of that entrance. In the last garden scene, a stone monument with a statue of a warrior queen and the inscription Valiant sits on top of the plinth. The warrior's sword is embedded in the monument and long-stemmed red roses have been placed both sides of the inscription. The skeleton long dining table is formed from two sections, each comprising three highly polished metal frames welded together. The same size and shape as the hanging frames, door frames make the table top and window frames the supports. The final props to mention are used when Bella is prepared for bed. They're a dark green, stained wood, vintage barber's chair on casters for her to sit on, and a metal trolley that houses the beauty equipment. As always, lighting and sound play a big part in the show. Different colours and brightness of light emphasise changing scenes, moods and aspects of the set. For instance, parts of the floor are highlighted when characters walk round the palace, aiding a sense of journeying and complementing the movement of the door frames. Occasionally, moving light projections onto the stage contribute to the drama. Music accompanies much of the show, although this year there is little singing and fewer instruments are played. The usual music corner in the notch by the 8 o'clock entrance is backed like the black walls of the entrances with dark green marbled panels. A cream and green painted harpsichord stands here, a chair beside it. In one scene, it's turned to be a brick fireplace in the family home, with a glowing fire in the fire basket. Apart from a small xylophone fixed high on a rail, the musicians bring and play their own instruments at the head of the entrance. A violin, two violas, a clarinet, and a flute are played, but not always all of them at any one time. And of course, you will hear beastly sounds. Characters and costumes. The company comprises 11 actors who, as an ensemble cast, may take on several roles. As the house lights fade, Farhan Shah, the musical director, leads his musicians out to open the show. All are dressed formally in Louis XIV influenced costumes, comprising pale grey breeches and waistcoats, grey stockings, and black tongue and buttle shoes. Pale grey powdered wigs add to their elegant demeanour. The musicians put aside their instruments and take on the role of servants in the palace. Hot on the heels of the musicians, members of the Goblin Army and Rahildra, the Goblin Queen, come twisting and twirling onto the stage. These magical, mystical, mischievous creatures are dressed head to toe in multi-layered red woolen costumes. From their shoulders hang long textured swirls of material in shades of deeper red. On their heads are close-fitting red leather skullcaps adorned with curly ram's horns. Long, dark red velvet invisibility caps are hidden under their cloaks. At various points, they will don these triangular caps and pretend, to us the audience, that they are invisible. Rahildra, the queen, is distinguished by her blazing red hair, which sweeps down to the ground in a thick plait. She's played by Danielle Bird. During the opening scene, goblins wearing their invisibility caps play tricks on a young girl who wanders by, a man and a woman. Beware the warrior queen, statuesque and fierce in her battle gear. She wears a silvered metallic breastplate fixed over a faux chainmail, full-sleeved shirt and tight-fitting black leather trousers. Double swords crisscross her back, secured there in a leather harness. Lengths of fine sunray pleated grey fabric fall from her waist to swathe her hips and thighs. Her black hair is hidden beneath a tall cylindrical headdress, shaped from coils of metallic plaits and secured with a leather tiara. She wears sturdy black leather boots and black leather gauntlets. And as the mother of the prince, her sword and harness is replaced by a silver regal drape. The warrior queen is played by Polly Lister. Her son, the little prince, celebrates his fourth birthday. The prince is, in fact, a puppet, operated by two servants. He's blank-faced, quiet and hesitant. He's dressed in grey, in a smaller version of the servants' costumes. And as it's his birthday, he sports a party hat. He sits perched on his throne. William, tall and slim, is the prince's attentive servant, formally dressed in grey, and for the party he too wears a party hat. William is played by Jonathan Charles. We go forward in time, over 100 years, and we meet the Cleaning Dream Team sisters, Bella, Prunella and Nigella. They wear mid-calf length cotton print pinafore dresses with full skirts, supported with a bum roll, and worn over cotton chemises with three-quarter length sleeves, striped aprons and mob caps. Bella's outfit is in cream and yellow, Prunella's is pink, and Nigella's blue. Oh, and Bella wields the mop and wooden bucket. Of course, Bella is Isabella, tricked by her father into making a visit to the palace. Before the day is out, her apron and mob cap will be replaced by something far more fitting for life in a palace. It's a full-length cream pannier dress, draped with a polonaise skirt and worn over the pinafore dress. The polonaise skirt is ruched at her hips with an exaggeration of lace and net. The bodice is cinched in at the waist and the sleeves are layered with deep frills. Her jet black hair puts on a fight against an extremely large wig creation of cream ringlets topped with a cherry cake. Petite 4 feet 11 inches tall Bella wins that fight. In a bedtime beauty routine, the servants unpin her ruched skirt, wrap her in a full-length cream nightdress, and add large rectangular mittens resembling oven gloves and a floppy mob cap. Bella is played by Rhiannon Skerritt. Prunella and Nigella are, dare I say, dizzy, empty-headed and scatterbrained, but focused when it comes to fashion. They will gladly abandon their cleaning outfits for the latest in blue or pink brocade, pannier-look dresses trimmed with frills and ribbons, the more the merrier. Extra bum rolls exaggerate the width of their dresses, and later the dresses gain extra flounce with a sack back layered pinned at the shoulders. I guess they'll need to walk sideways to enter the palace, and maybe duck to accommodate their elaborate wigs made up of grey, textile curls, ringlets and feathers. Prunella is played by Saleya Sang. Nigella is played by Rihanna Alexander Davis. Magic and mischief transforms the appearance of William and the servants. William becomes William, a mechanical servant that glides around on a wheeled hoverboard. His pale grey waistcoat is changed into a tessellation of metallic panels fixed with cogs and rivets. His elbow and knee joints are capped. His grey powdered wig, now sleek and silver, and set with metallic spring curls and ringlets. William is played by Jonathan Charles. Other servants receive the same transformation, but without the hoverboard, their clockwork movements more rigid and robotic. By the time we get to meet the Beast, we have already heard him roaring menacingly round the palace. He joins Bella for dinner on her first evening, appearing sat atop the marble plinth on a huge dining chair at the opposite end of the long dining table. As we might expect, he's broad and hairy with a whiskery face, a shaggy beard and a mane of unkempt chestnut brown curly hair. This is swept back and tied at the nape of his neck with a dark red velvet bow. Like the goblins, two ram's horns protrude from his head. His lower face is obscured by a leather mask. He wears fingerless gloves, and fur pokes out from the ends of his cuffs. He's dressed in a full-length purple and black textured coat, underneath which is a long purple brocade waistcoat over a white shirt. The Beast is played by Nicholas Richardson, who, at 6 feet 6 inches in height, is a very tall actor indeed. It's only when he stands up and prowls round the room that we realise he's also on sprung stilts and is now terrifyingly over 8 feet tall. The stilts look like hooves, and they too are covered with fur. As if that isn't enough, when he turns round, we discover that he has a great long fur tail with a shaggy tip to it. In the garden and caged, we encounter colourful, twittering, panicking puppet birds. Briefly, we meet a set of top-notch, aged experts, who apparently know what it is to be human. A professor wears a university gown, a science expert wears a frock coat and breeches, and an arts expert wears a cavernous cloak and cap. All wear spectacles. So, forget the Disney version of Beauty and the Beast, with its whole cast of additional characters, and come and enjoy the new Vix version. The show is around 2 hours 10 minutes long and includes an interval of 20 minutes after the first 55 minutes. The audio described performances are at 2:15 p.m. on Thursday the 6th of January and 7:30 p.m. on Saturday the 15th. There will be a touch tour prior to these performances. However, at the time of this recording, the touch tour start times are still to be confirmed. If you book for a touch tour, we will let you know your start time later. That completes our introduction to the show. Please listen on for further credits. Teresa Heskins is the director and dramatist. James Atherton, the composer and musical director. Laura Wilstead, set designer. Liz Evans, costume designer. Daniela Beatty, lighting and projection designer. And Alex Day and James Earls Davis, the sound designers. Beauty and the Beast is a New Vic Theatre production.